This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, January 12th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. In Silicon Valley, where tech workers are often highly skilled, highly paid, and in high demand, it can be hard for companies to keep their top talent. But when you add in the industry's plan to build an entirely new online realm, the metaverse, that competition can get even more fierce. On today's show, our reporter Aaron Tilley will discuss which workers are in high demand as the metaverse takes shape, and which companies are poised to benefit the most. That's after these headlines. The Federal Trade Commission has gotten the okay from a federal judge to move forward with its antitrust case against Facebook. The FTC alleges that Facebook, owned by Meta, tried to unlawfully suppress competition by buying up potential rivals like WhatsApp and Instagram. The commission is seeking to unwind those deals. The judge also rejected Facebook's argument that the new chairwoman of the FTC, Lina Khan, should have recused herself from the suit. The judge did side with Facebook on another issue, ruling the commission couldn't move ahead with allegations that the company used strong-arm tactics to weaken competitors, doing things like preventing third-party app developers from accessing Facebook's platform. A Meta spokesman said the purchase of WhatsApp and Instagram had been good for competition and consumers. The director of the FTC's Bureau of Competition said the agency was looking forward to a trial. Amazon workers in Bessemer, Alabama will be voting in a union election for the second time. Last year, workers there voted against unionizing by a wide margin, but a representative from the National Labor Relations Board found that Amazon violated labor law during that campaign. The new election next month will be held by mail. The NLRB said ballots will be sent to employees on February 4th, and they'll have nearly 2 months to cast their votes. One challenge facing the union leading that campaign is the possibility that many workers at the facility may no longer work for Amazon by the time the votes are counted. The company's employee turnover is more than 100% across many of its facilities, and labor researchers say that could make it harder to gain and keep union support. Speaking of Amazon, a federal judge removed himself from a high-profile Amazon case yesterday. U.S. District Judge Liam O'Grady stepped aside citing a financial conflict after the Wall Street Journal reported last fall that his wife owned $22,000 in Amazon stock. O'Grady had ruled in Amazon's favor during the 20 months he oversaw the case. WSJ reporter Joe Palazzolo says that O'Grady said he was stepping aside reluctantly.
The law says that the judges have to make an effort to know what their spouses or their minor children, what kind of financial assets they have. So he was sort of bemoaning the fact that, you know, his wife has this account. It's managed by a broker. She doesn't really make trades from it. The broker does all that by himself. And Judge O'Grady said he had no idea that his wife owned the stock. This case really shows kind of the impact of judges violating these rules, because when they violate the rules and they're called out on it, you know, in most cases, they're going to have to step aside. And when they step aside, it's going to impact the administration of justice. It's going to delay proceedings. It's going to cost people money. It's going to cost the court resources.
A new judge has been assigned to the case. And sales of electric and plug-in hybrid cars more than doubled in China to nearly 3 million vehicles last year. The China Passenger Car Association says that surge helped break a three-year decline in car sales in the country. Domestic electric car makers XPeng and NIO, alongside U.S.-based Tesla, all saw record car sales in China last year. But many other foreign automakers said the chip shortage and COVID-related shutdowns had hurt their sales in China. All right, coming up, companies often poach top talent from their rivals. But when it comes to building a whole new online realm, the battle for the best developers is getting even more intense. We'll have the details after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Yeah. Lots of companies are trying to stake their claim in the metaverse, the virtual realm where proponents say people will work, play, learn, and shop in the future. But to actually build the augmented and virtual reality tech that'll let us enter the metaverse, they need workers with particular sets of skills. And that's led to intense competition over the top tech talent. So far, one company that's taken a hit in this battle is Microsoft. Its augmented reality team has lost around 100 people over the past year. Many went to Facebook parent Meta. So, what do these defections mean for big metaverse players and small companies that want a part? And how could it affect the development of the metaverse itself? Here to talk about it is our tech reporter, Aaron Tilley. Hi, Aaron. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Microsoft has lost a number of people in its augmented reality division over the past year. What has Microsoft been building that's made its employees so attractive to other companies?
Yeah, Microsoft was really a early pioneer in augmented reality, which is a subset of the metaverse. They first announced in 2015 the HoloLens, which was their AR headset. They really put their stake in the ground really before anyone else. There were a few startups out there doing random things, but it was way before the curve in terms of broader interest in this kind of technology. And it was an outgrowth of some Xbox gaming work, but they really positioned it since then for more workplace and productivity use cases.
So where does work on HoloLens stand now, and what do these departures mean for that?
So yeah, since they first launched in 2015, they've since come out with a second generation in 2019. And it was quite a gradual change over the first generation HoloLens, the field of view of where you could see sort of the augmented reality experience was slightly widened. But since then, not a lot of breakthroughs in the actual hardware. Microsoft has been leaning a bit heavier recently in the software side. They've created something called Microsoft Mesh, which is sort of their play on the metaverse and augmented reality at the application level that people can sort of interact between devices. So from a hardware standpoint, it's been very slow. Progress has been pretty limited. And I'd say the biggest thing for them as well is a big U.S. Army contract that they won in the March of 2021. It's a deal that could be worth nearly $22 billion over the next decade, helping U.S. soldiers use augmented reality to navigate battlefields or see through smoke and do all sorts of things on the field. So that was huge for them, and they'll be coming out with new HoloLens just for that, for the U.S. Army that are more ruggedized. But with all these departures, this is going to be quite challenging, according to former Microsoft employees I spoke to. They're quite stretched thin and not getting the kind of funding they need.
Has Microsoft said anything about these departures and what it'll mean for HoloLens?
Yeah, Microsoft maintains that they are in a leadership position, and they sort of are if you look at what's out there in the market right now, but that lead might really kind of go away once we see others come into the marketplace. Microsoft says that employee attrition is a pretty regular occurrence across many teams, but they say they're happy with the progress they're making and they'll be fine.
Okay, so that's Microsoft. Let's talk about the place that a lot of these employees are going to. Of the HoloLens employees that have left over the past year, more than 40 have joined Meta, formerly Facebook. How is it attracting them?
Well, according to the people I've spoken to who have joined the company, they're really attracting folks by investing in this space. They're really showing that they're willing to pay people quite well and that they are really committed, what seems like over the long term. Mark Zuckerberg, the co-founder, CEO of Facebook, he says that this metaverse space is the future of the company, and it makes these former HoloLens employees excited to be at a place where an entire company is shifting directions and really coming together around what they want to be building. Whereas with Microsoft, there was a bit of uncertainty around the commitment to this technology.
Does it tell us anything about Meta's plans that it's bringing in all these workers for augmented reality when it already has a pretty well-known virtual reality headset, the Oculus?
Yeah, some of the first instances of Metaverse, I think, are really popping up in areas like virtual reality. That is where the market is. You're selling almost, 10 million headsets a year with 75% market share for Oculus. But augmented reality, where you're placing digital objects all around you in the real world, that's seen as the much bigger opportunity here. And Meta is saying that they're going to make that kind of technology as well.
So we're talking about two pretty big tech players. What about smaller companies or just other players that are trying to get in this space? If there's not that many workers, what do they do?
Yeah, I think, and it's not just Microsoft and Meta. Apple has big ambitions here. There are reports that they'll be coming out with their own AR headset very soon. Any big player in technology has some sort of strategy here. And like with any new technology, once the giants take an interest, they're going to be acquiring, they're going to be paying giant salaries. And for startups, that means they're having to fight for, for the right to have a place in this market.
So much of the modern internet that we're used to was developed by startups, by smaller, kind of scrappier companies. The metaverse is sort of pitched as the next generation of the internet. So should we be thinking that this might not take the same shape if it's big companies that are really going to be the ones shaping what the metaverse looks like?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So much of technology is really a place for the big players with the money, the market power, the market share in its sort of existing markets that they can now translate to new markets. I think that says a lot about this current era of tech where really the giants dominate and will probably dominate kind of the next upcoming markets. What room is there for startups, especially in areas like hardware where you're having to expand and have control over your supply chain? It's really difficult for startups to make any sort of progress here. So it really lends itself to the giants that are already out there.
All right. That's our reporter, Aaron Tilley. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.